Well, it's interesting because 7 years after his death, it was a time to sort of take a step back and evaluate how the Sunni jihadist movement has changed since he died. And one of the things that bin Laden was very capable at was maintaining unity and managing very difficult relationships with other terrorist organizations, including what was then known as Al-Qaeda in Iraq, which has now become the Islamic State. And what we're arguing here is that a lot of the problems that led up to the splinter between Al-Qaeda and the Islamic State were problems that were around for many, many years. The group's excessive violence, its targeting of the Shia, its unwillingness to adhere to Al-Qaeda's guidance, these were all problems that had plagued the relationship for years. But what changed in the years after bin Laden's death was that Zawahiri was less capable of managing these problems. Bin Laden's successor, Ayman al-Zawahiri, had a very long track record of being a manager and a leader who sowed divisions, who exacerbated tensions. And so what we're arguing is that bin Laden's absence made it more difficult to keep that already flawed and already difficult alliance together. And so in a way, his death allowed for the rise of the Islamic State.
Okay, so you've written the piece and you've answered the questions. What do your answers say about what we can expect from Al-Qaeda in the coming weeks, months, and years?
Al-Qaeda is still very much trying to position itself as the leader of the Sunni jihadist movement. It now just has a very serious rival in the Islamic State. And what's happened, especially since bin Laden's death, but before it a bit as well, is that Al-Qaeda relies very heavily on its affiliates. And so its affiliates in Yemen, in Algeria, in Somalia are really the core of its strength at this point. And those groups, by and large, continue to pursue causes that are more local and more regional and continue to do so quite successfully, even though they have been challenged locally by the Islamic State. They still remain well positioned and strong within the movements in those different regions. Of course, Al-Qaeda and Zawahiri has consistently said that the United States is their primary target, but have not really been able to match that rhetoric with action. So it's more at this point a contest between Al-Qaeda and the Islamic State for leadership of the movement. And Al-Qaeda will be trying to do things that will position itself, especially when the Islamic State has experienced some setbacks, to regain that mantle.
So as you mentioned, in some ways there's a competition between terror groups out there in the world, and we know that the same day that the Daesh terror attack took place in Afghanistan earlier in the week, this being the 2nd of May, it happened on the same day as, I believe, a Taliban attack in Afghanistan in the southern part of the country that day. Do you see a competition between terror groups, and what does it matter?
In Afghanistan, there does seem to be a competition, I would say, to some degree. The competition is more on the side of the Islamic State, which is seeking to challenge the Taliban with its violence. The Taliban at times has directly challenged the Islamic State, seeking to fight the group on the battlefield. But by and large, the Taliban still dwarfs the Islamic State in Afghanistan. And interestingly, in the places where Al-Qaeda is strong, like Yemen, Somalia, Algeria, they still dwarf the Islamic State in those places. Of course, the Islamic State has the qualitative and quantitative edge in Iraq and Syria and some other places. So the sort of composition of that competition ranges a lot from place to place, depending on who is sort of the premier organization. And in Afghanistan, though the Islamic State engages in much more indiscriminate violence, the Taliban is still very much the leading power in the insurgency in Afghanistan.
Dr. Tricia Bacon, assistant professor at the American University. G.G. Green, WTOP News.